We can do Chavetz Chaim. So we started yesterday and we're in Shara Torah. One second, Reuben, it's good? Fine. So let's see the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says like this. So the pasuk says, "Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, tarasi al ta'azov." What does Hashem say? I gave you a good buy. Don't abandon the Torah. So what does it mean? I gave you something good, because we know what's good and important to a poor person, right, is not necessarily important to a rich person. And something that's important to a rich person is not necessarily important to a king. And something that's important to a king, like conquering a Medina, is not necessarily important to an angel. Because we know there are some angels that they're huge. And that's the pasuk Ki lekach tov. Says, look at this good. Hashem says, I'm calling it good. I'm Melech Malchei Melachim, and I'm calling the Torah good. I'm not saying, it's not a poor person saying it's good. It's not someone else saying it's good. It's Melech Malchei Melachim, Hashem saying it's good. Hashem said, I created all the worlds, and they're all worth nothing to me. But the Torah is what I call good. They're not considered on the level of what's important by Hashem. There's not so many things that are on the important list by Hashem. They're not considered good to Hashem. What's considered good? The Torah is good. Hashem says, this is good. He said, what was my good thing, what was good by me, I gave to you. Right? And it was a hidden treasure by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem always plays with the Torah. Like the positive Eish HaShum Yom Yom Yitarasi. Therefore, Alta, therefore don't abandon. Because there's no end to the Kedusha of the Torah. Like Chazal say, there are 600,000 explanations on every pasuk. On every pasuk, the Torah, there are 600,000 explanations. Right, so you learn Gemara, you learn one, you learn Medrash, you learn another one, maybe you learn Pshat, Rebbe's, Drusha, you learn five.
I thought the Torah was infinite. How could there be 600,000?
At least.
At least.
In each Pshat, it goes much deeper. There's also 70 fasts to the Torah. Fine. And the Medrash says that the name of the light of the name of Hashem is very, very big. And Chazal said, like, Nidnu Parsha Torah ala Seder. Why would we know that the rule that the Pesukim of the Torah is not written in order? Right? We know different things are written out of order. Right? We have a rule that's nothing, Ein Muktam Ocha B'Torah. Things are not necessarily in order. You know why the Torah is not written in order? Let's say it wasn't necessarily written in the order that they happened many times. You know why not? Because Chazal say, the Yalkut says to Hillel, the Medrash says, Amri Rilas, if the parshas were given in order, everything was written straight, then every person could look at the Torah and look at the names of Hashem and resurrect the dead. That's a powerful Torah. So Hashem on purpose made it in a different order so we can't just go and do Tchis and Mesis. So therefore Hashem made it hidden, right? Made it hidden from us. Wow, Baruch Hashem. Let's go to Jesus. We're in the middle of Emes Emunah. Up the letter. Chaf. Kilkul ha'emunah. Damaged emunah chas v'shalom hu b'chines avodah zarah. Which means, doesn't necessarily mean a person does avodah zarah. Even if a person has messed up emunah, this code has a certain element of avodah zarah. Which means something happens to us and we don't see Hashem in it. We get upset. This has the aspect, the element of serving with the Zohar. Which means even just lacking, even though we're not actually doing with the Zohar, we still believe in Hashem, but lack of emunah is also, can have an aspect of a Zohar. And through this, the rain is withheld, there's no sustenance, there's no peace. A man does not help his friend. Each person to travel from place to place for his livelihood. Chafal, Iker Ashirus, the main wealth, Bame Emes, comes from truth. So when we speak a lot of truth and make sure to live with truth, we marry to become rich. When we damage the MS, we're not so truthful. Doesn't even mean to lie. We're not saying the entire truth. But all of anias, person can become poor. Gam also bezyonis, embarrassments of bushes. Someone who holds on to emes, no matter what, he always wants to say the whole truth and 100% the truth. Parnasase bereva, he has a lot of parnasa. So now we're holding on the Pesachim's base of Gimel Amud base 3b. We're holding. So let's go back to just one thing we said yesterday. That just the last point that Ravina's pshat was, we brought a machlekes of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, if Rosh Hashanah is considered one kedusha, or if Rosh Hashanah is considered two kedushas, right? Right, because we know there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Even in Eretz Yisrael, there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, right? Now, obviously, 1 day is from the Midaraisa, because the Torah only says keep 1 day the Raisa, and the other days is from the Rabbanan, right? There's 2 days. However, there's a machlekes. How do we view the second day of Rosh Hashanah, or sometimes the first day? Do we view it like all other Yom HaMetayim? The first day is the Raisa from the Torah, and the second day is the Rabbanah. Or we view it, even though 1 day is the Rabbanah, we're going to view it all as if it's one Kedusha. We're going to give it the level and the importance as if it's a Raisa, even though 1 day is really the Rabbanah. That's the machlekes, right? They reviewed the whole, there's 2 kedushas, which mean 1 day we treat as a deraisa, and the other day you could treat as the rabbana. Rabbanas, they know it's kedusha achasi. We treat it all as if it has the same level of kedusha deraisa. Even though 1 day is the rabbana, we treat it all as a deraisa. Now, what's the difference? Because Rabbi Yehuda said, since 1 day is deraisa, 1 day is the rabbana, right? By the time it comes to the second day of Rosh Hashanah, you could eat your egg that was born. Because either yesterday was weekday, so the egg was born on weekday, or today's weekday, so for sure 1 day was weekday, by the second day you could eat the egg. Come around and say, no, we agree with you 1 day is going to be weekday, 1 day is the Rabbanah. But for Rosh Hashanah, we give it all the level of importance that we view it as one Kedusha, we view it all as if it was all Yom Tov, all the Raisa, and we're not going to view it as if we're going to say, since 1 day was Yom Tov, we'll let you eat the egg. We're going to view it as if yesterday and today were both Yom Tov. We're not going to let you view it that one of these days were Chol. That's the pshat of Rabbanan and say Kedusha Achasi. It's good? Now, yeah, what's your question?
On Rabbi Yehuda's side there, where you can eat it on the second day.
Right.
Is this connected to the Tanai with the temple? Is it the same kind of Tanai that one would need to make?
Over here, correct.
Over
here, you don't have to make this now. Over here, it's automatic. Because either yesterday was considered Chol, the first day of Rosh Hashanah was really Chol, because, right? If their second day is really Yom Tov, right? That means yesterday was really weekday, correct?
Okay.
On a Daraisa level. So therefore, possibly this egg was born on weekday. It was born yesterday, the first day of Yom Tov. If it's born on weekday, could I eat it?
Yeah.
Now, or so either yesterday was weekday, 50% chance. Or the other 50% chance is, today, the second day of Yom Tov, is weekday. If yesterday was Yom Tov Midaraisa, today is weekday. So either way, by the time it comes to the second day, 1 day was really, on a Daraisa level, it was weekday. The Rabbanan make you keep it. On a Daraisa level, 1 day was weekday. Therefore, by the second day, we for sure let you eat it. Comes the Rabbanan and say, we don't give you that license. You have to view both days as a on a Daraisa level. You can't start viewing one. So it's right. You're saying you have a 48-hour deraisa Yom Tov. We look at it as kedusha yema. Arichta, the Gemara said, we're gonna get to it. We're gonna get to it soon. And Aris Efta, they view it as one long day, which you have to view the entire thing with deraisa. Right? What? Now Rashi brought down the Gemara Rosh Hashanah why they did it like that.
And the theory that the Rabbanan say you can't eat it with one long day was because of Mashkin Shazabu.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Now we're going back to say, if it's one long day, it's Yom Tov. And if it's Beit HaShanah, it's Yom Tov. You're not allowed to eat because of Rabbi Yitzchak, because of Mashkin, because it's the Gzera, part of the Gzera of Mashkin Shazavu. Correct. Fine. Very good. Fine. So that was just getting clear what we said yesterday. So Rashi gives us the background why you should say such a thing. Meaning, every 2 day Yom Tov, 1 day is from the Torah, 1 day is in the Rabbanah, correct? So why did the Rabbanah choose over here to view it all as a Daraisa? Right? that they view the entire 2-day period as one day deraisa. One day is really deraisa, and one day is derabana, right? So that's what Rashi brought us, quote of the Mishnah from Masechet Rosh Hashanah, can explain it comes from Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, the Chacham made a gzera over there. Good? You see the Rashi?
On
Rosh Hashanah only. All other Yamim type, and one day is for the rice, so one day is for Rabbanan, so for Halacha also.
That's talking about Chutzlar, but that doesn't apply
in Israel. Even Israel. Which, what? All other Yamim type?
So.
Correct, all other Yamim, right. This whole gzera was a specific gzera that Rabbanan made on Rosh Hashanah that we have to keep, that will make it Yam Arich the whenever you keep 2 days. Which
that's,
means.
That's the only holiday you keep 2 days.
Correct.
Is
correct. So, correct. It's because the Rashi brings down the Gemara why they did that specifically by Rosh Hashanah. That was we saw yesterday a little bit. Why that series by Rosh Hashanah. So let's see this Rashi. So whoever wants to see the Rashi, Kedusha Achasi, 6th line down in the Rashi, Kedusha Achasi, see Rashi inside. Rashi is giving the background why you should make it one Kedusha. Kedusha Achasi. But like Damu Rashi said, it's not similar to Sha'ar Yom Tov, right? Rosh Hashanah is not like other Yom Tov. The Hanukh, that over there by Rosh Hashanah, Lamishav Sveika Askon, we're not making Takana, you don't keep 2 days because we were in doubt, it's in doubt which day. Sorry, right? He's saying the Hanukh, those other Yom Tov, Lamishav Sveika Askon, they're not a suffix. Right, the other 2 days, there's no reason to make them in Eretz Yisrael, because there's no Sveika the Yema. Now the Af is man bested, even in the time of besting, sometimes we make Rosh Hashanah 2 days. When? Why should we do Rosh Hashanah 2 days? If Aden, that say they saw the new moon, came on the first, on the 30th day of Elul, which we were treating as Rosh Hashanah, from Mincha and on, and then besting is closed already, then we don't accept them, and we make tomorrow Rosh Hashanah also, because I'm reading Rosh Hashanah, instead of Rosh Hashanah. So what does it say over there like this? Really, Rosh Hashanah is complicated. Because we have to keep the 30th day of Elul as Yom Tov. Every month we don't know, is the 30th day going to be the 30th day of this month, or the first day of the next month, correct? Is it going to be a 30-day Elul, or is it going to be a 29-day Elul, and today's going to be the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Right? We're not sure. So we have to start keeping Yom Tov, correct? The 30th day of Elul, we have to treat it as Yom Tov, correct? We have to keep Yom Tov. Now, if Edim come, witnesses come and say today's Rosh Chodesh, very good. Today's Rosh Chodesh. So now we kept Yom Tov. Tonight you can make Havdalah. Good. But let's say Edim don't come, or they come after Mincha and Besen is closed already, then we say, okay, they didn't come today. Must be tomorrow's Yom Tov. Tomorrow's really Aleph Tishrei. Right. We don't know when's Aleph Tishrei, correct? Is it on the 30th day of Elul, if that's really Aleph Tishrei? Or is the next day Aleph Tishrei? So since we don't know, we have to make it, we'll keep the first day and the second day Rosh Hashanah. Good? However, let's say we know no Edom came already on the first day, it's Mincha time. So you know tomorrow is Rosh Hashanah, so you should be able to do Malacha. Let's say on the first day no Edom came to tell us it's Rosh Chodesh today, right? It's already the afternoon. So I know already today is not going to be Rosh Chodesh. So why can't I do Malacha? Oh, Kala Chazal say, even though today you know tomorrow is going to be Aleph Tishrei because no Edom came today and Beis Din is already closed, you can't take out your skateboard and start doing Oli Malacha on the first day, because it's like zero afraid next year also. Next you're going to say, oh, I remember last year we kept the first day, and then at 5 o'clock in the afternoon they said, oh, Rosh Hashanah is cancelled, tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, so this year I'm not going to keep it at all. That's what someone might say. Say, last year I kept Rosh Hashanah, I went to shul 9 hours, I was sitting there and davening and doing shofar and the whole thing. And then, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, they tell me Rosh Hashanah is cancelled, really, tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah. Right? So therefore, Chazal say, even this year we don't let you do Malacha. We never cancel Rosh Hashanah. Even if we know for sure tomorrow's Rosh Hashanah, you have to finish keeping Yom Tov today. You can't go start, you know, doing your Malacha. Right? So since Chazal made 2 days, even at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes there were 2 days, but we didn't want to be Mizalzel on the first day. We were very afraid that you're going to cheapen the first day of Yom Tov. Usually it's the opposite. Usually we're afraid you cheapen the second day of Yom Tov, because that's the Rabbanan, right? Over there they were afraid, once you realize the first day wasn't really Yom Tov, you're going to cheapen it. They would say, 2 full days Rosh Hashanah, you can't do any malach. And say, you view this first day as if it's the Daraisa. Give it the stringencies of the Daraisa. That's what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah said. Fine. Let's see the next shot of Ravina. Right, we're still trying to figure out, we have a stira in Rabbi Yehuda. Right? Getting back, we have a contradiction. One place Rabbi Yehuda says, Ochel da Afris, right? The juice that comes out of the grape is part of the grape. And by the egg, it seems like it's not part of the chicken. You're not allowed to eat the egg. Ravina Rabbi Ula Abar, Hakam Tani Ganes Hamez Lagad on page 8. Here, we're referring to a case of a Tani Gailas.
Hen. An
egg laying hen. Hen laying egg. So the hen is made to lay eggs. And therefore what? That's why you can't eat the eggs. The egg is muktzah. Rabbi Yehuda Latameh, Rabbi Yehuda going according to his reasoning, the Islay muktzah holds a muktzah. Meaning what? What are we saying here? That really Rabbi Yehuda holds ochol da afris. The egg and the grape food is one entity. Right? So why? Okay, what's wrong? Why is the egg and the chicken different? It's also one entity, but the reason why it's also because it's muktzah, because this egg was set aside to lay eggs. So that's pshat. It's not a contradiction of Yehuda at all. Really, Yehuda holds ochel da afris. The food is one entity. Now, but here it's different because they have an issue of muktzah.
Question about
correct. Today we do Aleph Tishrei, what we call Aleph Tishrei based Tishrei, which is really could call it, because we know already it's not the 30th day. Then they weren't sure if we have 29 days of Elul and Aleph, which Aleph Tishrei could really have been the 30th day of Tishrei. Right, we call it Aleph based. We already have a calendar set up, but then they, you're right. These days, that's what we do. These days, correct. We've been saying the Rosh Hashanah is not the 30th day of Elul and the first day of Tishrei. We do the first day and second day of Tishrei. You're right. That's what we have a set up calendar. That's what we do. But then they wouldn't do it like that. Then they didn't have the calendar. So if the 30th day wasn't Rosh Hashanah, then Aleph was Rosh Hashanah. Beis was already a weekday. Beis was a short weekday in those times. You're right. It's different because we have a set calendar. Right? Good? Fun.
Question about the egg.
Which egg?
I mean, if the chicken's laying eggs and it's designated to lay eggs,
correct.
It's muksa. Not that it's food from food.
Correct.
But the food is muksa.
Nachon, so
the egg is muksa.
It's true. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds food for food is not an issue. So the whole issue here is the issue of muksa, like we spoke about. Good. This might will catch you up. That's the show.
But it's not considered food here.
Nachon, it's muksa.
It doesn't work.
Nachon, that's why here is usher. Correct. And either it goes to Lashitas or Rabbi Yehuda holds the muksa. That it is muktzah, and therefore it's a problem. But and therefore it's not a contradiction at all. It's connected to 2 different halachas, not connected. Now we're always going to challenge. We have 4 pshatim in the Mishnah. We'll give a quiz. Peish and Eldu Yom Tov. Egg that's just my hair. We're going to go over. Get it now. An egg that's born on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to eat it. Why are you not allowed to eat the egg? What's Rabba's pshat?
Hachana,
which means in English.
Prepared. You have to. Can't prepare on Yom Tov from Shabbos or Shabbos from Yom Tov. Furthermore, you hold that you have to actually do prepare on Chol for Yom Tov.
Good. So here we make an example because of a case where if the egg was prepared from Yom Tov, from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Fine. So that is the Isser Deraisa the Rabbanan.
He holds the Deraisa.
Deraisa. He learned that out of the pasuk. It's the Isser Deraisa. He looked pasuk b'chinas shayav you. Rabba and Reb Yitzchak. Rabbi Yosef, what's Rabbi Yosef's pshat? Rabbi Yosef, tell us Rabbi Yosef's pshat.
Rabbi Yosef's pshat is there is an issue. So if one egg is there, that when the fruits fall off of a tree, you can't eat them. Shema, maybe you'll complicate them.
Right.
So he's basing on the xera that the egg is just like the perish an issue. They have
that there. So it's the Rabbanah. It goes to the Peirah of Xerish and Ishru, the fruit that fell off, the egg that's born, therefore it's the Rabbanah. And what's Rabbi Yitzchak's pshat? Rabbi Yaakov tells Yitzchak's pshat. Rabbi
Yitzchak.
Xerish of Mashka Zavah. Good. It's Xerish of the Mashka that flowed out of the juice that is usher to drink it, so we're afraid you're going to squeeze the grape. Here also the egg that came out, it's Xerish. So that's Xerish of the Rabbanah. Good. Fun. So Now, our Gemara is not going to deal with Rav Nachman. We're not going to... Why?
Yeah.
Why are we not? Because the Gemara already knocked out Rav Nachman's shot.
Why not? You see
over here that they are... Ravina, should I just say?
So, it moves to the Raksa. Sorry, we're dealing with Ravanans here. So, if it moves to the Ravana, I feel, then why don't we bring it down over here with the move, with the other cases over here, with the other two Ravanans that we have over here, the two Xeris and Ravana.
So, you're saying, why don't you bring Rav Nachman?
Right, so Rabin Tom says that actually the Ravana were Machmir by Mukta, and they made it Kain Tar, they made it like a Deraisa. Therefore, it doesn't fall into that category at all. Then you can ask why
isn't
it with the
Diorah, son?
They don't answer that.
I thought it was a very simple shot. Here.
What does that mean?
First
of all, that first answer is
going
to be threw him out.
That's a
bunch of
shot. That's
and
what I wanted to
say. But most of the Rabbanis, why
don't we have him listed here in the next because one? Because we already threw him out. It's not the right shot on our Mishnah. We already knocked this. So we're trying to go against. Fine. To have a thing, we'll look at it after. I want to see. But from we were made a time, not from us, from somewhere else.
Huh?
Someone else, I mean, not this by us, someone else.
Saw you.
Maybe we'll look at it after. The Pashim shot is simple. Rav Nachman already got knocked out. Why do we knock out Rav Nachman shot? Why can't Rav Nachman be shot in our Mishnah?
Because he didn't talk about the egg, and he didn't talk about the chicken.
Oh, yes, our Mishnah only talked about the egg, not at the chicken. If it's a muksa, talk about the chicken. So it didn't fit into our Mishnah, his words anyway, that wasn't the right shot in our Mishnah. That's Pashim shot. That's what they say is Pashim shot. Fine, so you have a good touch. Fine, you have a good touch on it. But Lamaisa.
Discussed at length for some reason by
Weird.
The Ramban.
Why do we bring Rav Nachman?
Huh?
Yeah, why don't we ask him to speak about Rav Nachman?
Yeah,
we have to look at it.
Answers.
But we have to look at it after. Because that'll help you. Because then you have to say Martaris. Because then you have. That's what they say over there? They bring
no.
that? That's your upshot.
What? That was thrown out?
Yeah, thrown out.
We thought that was simple
Nachon. But I'll tell you the problem. Nachon, fine. Really, the simple is thrown out. However, my dear Chavruser of Yaakov said, but it's funny that it was thrown out because a minute ago we just brought Rav Nachman again. Ravina, what was Ravina doing? Ravina in the name of Ula was telling us to who the shot on the Braisa was like who? What did Ravina say in the name of Ula? What was the shot on this Braisa?
Yehuda, it was like
it's Mukhtar of Yehuda like Rav Nachman. So I thought we don't like Rav Nachman. A second ago you just brought Rav Nachman back in. So it's a question why Gemara is not dealing with Rav Nachman, only dealing with Rav or Yitzchak or Yitzchak, three out of the four Pshatim. But if you have time, after looking at Rishayim, Rav Yosef has to have, he says he has a collection of Rishayim to have answers. So we'll speak to Rav Yosef after for the information. Fine. So let's see the Gemara. Meisvet, that's what we're going back to today. We have a question. Echad, Beitza, Shanal, the Bishap. So we're going to bring a Braisa first with four scenarios. So hold your deep Chajman. There's four scenarios. And even right next to it says Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet to make it easy for you, because for the Halacha. But there's four scenarios we're going to bring right now. And the Braisa. It's all seemingly are referring to an egg born on Yom Tov. Meisvet, echad beitza shenal de b'Shabbos. Whether the egg was born on Shabbos, the echad beitza shenal de b'Yom Tov, right? Or whether the egg was born on Yom Tov, in metatlin is done. You can't move it. Loy lechasas ba'is hakli. You cannot cover a kli with the egg. You can't use it as a bottle stopper. You cannot either support the legs of the bed on the egg. Now, how you do that, I'm not really sure. But it's a muksa. So, when Meiri says it doesn't really mean a real bed, it means they used to have like a little piece they would put like a cup of water on. So, you support this piece like on an egg. It doesn't really mean a real bed to sleep on. It's not referring to that. But either way, Rashi learns it sounds like it is a bed. That you put the egg near one of the legs and it supports the bed. I don't know exactly how, but somehow an egg. You put it standing next to the leg of the bed, this egg will.
I think it's underneath the leg, say that leg is shorter.
That's
so
like.
You put the egg underneath the level.
Off a level, yeah.
On its end.
On its hip, yeah, because that end to end.
It makes more sense than what we were saying.
Yeah. No, I was looking at I didn't have the right shot. Okay, that makes sense.
Like a shimmy. To level something.
A spacer.
Fine, so you put the egg, so next time you need to lift your egg a little bit. What's
your thing? Says if you take the egg and
you
can't. On the perfect pressure that it's going to be solid, it's not going to collapse.
I saw YouTube videos that it works.
Yeah.
I was doing like science class when I was a little kid. Just like laying it.
But the next
one. The little kid, you were, you didn't have the strength necessarily to break it.
No, it was this size though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was born.
Fine. So, my says Muksa, even if you need to lift your bed on Yom Tov, your bed somehow, your piece, your moldy piece cracked, your rotten wood piece cracked, you need to put your egg there to lift your bed so you're not sleeping like on a slant, you're not allowed to use this egg because it's Muksa. Fine, you learn new things in the Gemara. New. Oh, so that's halacha number Aleph. It even has an Aleph. Really, it's totally where the halacha is, but it's the Aleph right next. Beis. Aval kaifa aleha es akli, but you are allowed to cover a kli. Take, you're allowed to cover it with a kli, with a utensil. The shvil should like the shavu in order to not break. You have this chicken just lay this egg in your yard. Everybody's walking around your yard. So you're allowed to take your bucket or your bowl and put it on top of it so nobody steps. Take your cone so nobody steps on top of your fresh egg.
With the case of a bed, would you be allowed to do that even with an egg that wasn't muksa? Like a potage room, talking to the bed or something like that?
I mean, we're talking to the bed. You're putting a bed on top of it. You're like, you're not talking
to the bed. You're fixing the bed. You can't sleep on it because it's wobbling.
I'm putting it on top of something. You're allowed to put something on top of something. I'm not fixing the bed. I put the bed on top of that. I put something under the bed. You have to put something under the bed. I didn't do anything to the bed.
Temporary.
First, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. Like, you have rotten eggs in your thing. Temporary. Temporary.
The whole thing about covering the egg with.
So what's that? Let me explain. Hold on one second.
Not touching it.
Hold on 1 second. Good. So what's that love of it? You're allowed. I'm not touching the egg. What's the chiddush? You're allowed to take a bowl. You're allowed to take a cup and cover your egg. Obviously, you're allowed. What's wrong? Right. I'm not touching it. The chiddush is rationing down. There's a shita inside the Shabbos that holds. If I'm not allowed to move the egg, I'm not allowed to move any utensil for its purpose either. Since that thing is muksa, I can't touch it, I can't do anything for it either. So, Armistead, we're not going like that extreme shoot of Rabbi Yitzchak that says you can't use a mutter utensil to put it on top of muksa.
The utensil becomes asra also at that point, too.
It's biblically mechon. He's saying you're allowed to use this for this purpose to cover the egg, even though the egg is not movable. You're allowed to move the cup. We're not going to extreme shita. Good. We're not being so extreme in this one. Good.
But also, once it's covered, you don't want to move it, so you don't want to touch it.
Okay, good.
So that's fine.
Oh, that's halach. So right, we said avol. But however, kaifa alas akli, you're allowed to cover it with a kli with a utensil. Bishvil in order shall let you show it should not break. Fine, that's halacha number 2. Everybody, remember this is halacha number 3. We need to know which is 3 and which is 4. This is 3. Halacha number 3 is, usveika asura. If we're in doubt, your egg is asur. So, pashur shot, what's the doubt now? The doubt is, I'm in doubt if this egg was born on Yom Tov or not. I come to my chicken coop Yom Tov morning. I didn't check it yesterday. And I see an egg. I'm not sure if this egg was born on Yom Tov, so it should be asur. Or maybe it's sitting there from yesterday and it's really mutter. So that's Pashur Shat right now. We're assuming the whole Mishnah is in one topic. So therefore it's referring to one egg. Come to halacha, that's halacha number 3. Halacha dalet, halacha number 4. The imnis arva ve'elech, if this usher egg, let's say your egg was born on Yom Tov, and then somehow it got mixed with 1,000 other eggs. You have an egg farm. It got mixed with 1,000 other eggs.
The sapphic usher egg.
No. Vale usher egg. If it's arva ve'elech, Kulon Asurus, you're now a new case. You have a certainly Usur egg, for sure born a Yom Tov, but now I'm in doubt because it got confused with other eggs. It got mixed in with 1,000 other eggs. Even 1,000 other eggs. Still, even 1,000 eggs, still it's Usur. Fine. Good. Why do you want to say it's a Suffolk egg?
I don't know what it is.
No, that's a new case. For a third case, is Sveik Asur, Suffolk egg is Usur. Now, in this Arab, if it got mixed in, the one that for sure was Usur, but Elif Kulan Asurus.
How do you know about it? It's
the same as the Vada. Because it's a new case. It's Vit Imnis Arab, it's a new case.
I know, but
if it got mixed in.
Because
then you get it very complicated. Because then you're getting to. Also, I'll just tell you, Stan, you're getting to Svek Sveika. So it's much more complicated in your case. Because your suffix of it is on Yom Tov, and then another suffix where it is. Then it could be much more
makeup. We said for sure it'd be.
Because it should be Usur. Meaning, I'll tell you why. Really, I just read the flow of the Mishnah. But your case is going to get very complicated, because then it's a Svek Sveika.
No, I just want to know how.
Because I read it, because we said the Imnis Arvin. If it got mixed, it's a new case. It's a Vim, it's a fourth case. I don't know. I think it was simple. I just read it like that. I don't know the proof.
If it got mixed in with a thousand, how do you know that it is? How do you know what the
it
is?
I don't know, I assume you're right. I don't have a proof, but it wouldn't make sense the other way. I'm telling you, you'd get very messed up because You want me to bring a proof?
No, I understand that part.
The truth is, I read a flow like that, but also it would be very complicated if it wasn't.
Why is it so complicated? Why would it
be? You see the Gemara further. You're right. Right now, it's not so clear. You could review the other way. But in the Gemara further, we'll see this is the case. In the Gemara further. Anyway, sucks sake, you get very messed up. It's not worth it. But, fine. So right now, you have one egg that got mixed up with all the eggs. So fine. So what's the Gemara saying? Now we're going to go into the third case. Bishlam al Rabba. It makes sense. We're at peace. It's good according to Rabba. The Amr Mishum Hachanu, who said the reason why you can't eat the eggs, it's a deraisa, because now I have a sveika deraisa. In case number three, where we're not sure if the egg was born on Yom Tov, it's a suffix in a deraisa. We know the rules, sveika deraisa, lechumra. If some of the deraisa, you're strict, so that's why it's usher. El Rabbi Yitzchak, El Rabbi Yitzchak, Tam Rishum Gzeria. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak, they told me the reason why you can't eat the egg born on Yom Tov because of Gzeria, sveika derabbanani. So now your doubt, when this thing was born, the Safek Durabbanan. And what's the rule of Safek Durabbanan? The Chazek Durabbanan Lakula. So it's different, should be lenient. So why is the Braisa telling me? If you're not sure if the egg was born yesterday, you have a Safek, it's Aser. If it's a Durabbanan, you should really be lenient. That's the wise question. So it must be Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi are wrong. That's the one who wants to prove. Rabbi is right. Could we have a Braisa that proves to us? They were dealing the whole reason for faith to Chanel to be on them. It's really on the Raisa level. So it seems to prove Rabbi Yitzchak, like, seems to knock out Rabbi and Rabbi Yitzchak.
Because they're holding the Rabbanon on both their scores.
Yeah, they're
there. And Rabbi is holding the Raisa.
Yeah, Rabbi's holding the Raisa. Fine, let's see Rashi HaKadosh.
Going back to Fred's question, maybe the reason why it's not a suffix is because at the beginning of the definition, not dealing with the suffix, it is born on.
Right.
So maybe that's, we're going back to that.
Right, that's what I assume. Yeah. I assume that we're giving the first case, meaning, but he's saying.
Back begin from seven,
right.
No, beginning of the submission. Because the beginning is not suffix, it's definitely born on the Yom Tov Shabbat.
Right. That could also be meaning. Yeah, he's saying good. He's saying the price is topic of the normal egg. We went for a minute to Suffolk. It's now back to our normal case. Cody, that's better. But my friend was saying maybe we're still in Suffolk. You're saying not as. But you're saying it makes more sense that that's the flow. Yeah. That's where we started. Could be fine. Very good. I agree with you. Sounds good. Fine. Let's see Rashi Meisve. One. Like about 10 lines down in the narrow lines from Rashi. First word on the line, Meisve. They have a challenge. Who we ask now? Ahanach amayra'i kamai on those amayra'in. Ahanach amayra'i kamai on those amayra'in, which we brought before. To Ivlik, the time of the Beis Hillel, the Mastisin, who argued on the pshat of Beis Hillel in our Mishnah. What was the pshat? Why the eighth by the egg was Aser. Fine. So we brought a braisa, right? We said the egg that was born on Yom Tov, right? We said you're not allowed to move it lechasis basa kli to cover over a kli. Now, how do you cover a kli with an egg? How are you covering a kli? Well, you smash it open. How do you cover a kli with eggs? Rashi says, pitz luchas, the mouth of like a bottle. You're using the thing as a set of a cork. You're just using an egg to put on top of the mouth of your bottle. Or list mechba. Zoikva, you are standing it up keneged. Chuda, now you know what it means. It means you're standing up the egg opposite, facing the chuda, the point, the sharp part of obviously the leg of the bed. The stomach button, you're supporting the bed on it. Then I said, well, connected means. So connected means near it. Connected means under it. You're putting the egg under. Here you have this leg of the bed, you put the egg right here.
Oh, okay.
So now, like,
you can whatever that's called, that's chuda.
What?
Whatever that bottom part is called, it's
no, the chud is this. This is the chud. The chud is like the sharp part of the bed, like the point of the bed.
Like
lost my bed.
No,
this point, the point. The point. This guy's like, the point. That's the leg. The leg of the bed. The leg of the bed. The leg of the bed. So you're putting this to support the leg of the bed. So I don't know how heavy their beds were also those days. They weren't like big, you know, master queen size beds. It's probably a little.
It's a little.
Fine. We say you're allowed to cover over a clean on top of the egg. The chulu. What? He said connected chuda. But Lisbon Buzz, look what. Ah, you're saying it's the chud of the egg, right? That's how I learned last time also, right? Lisbon was zoikva, right? You zoikva, you stand up, connected, like opposite, facing the chud of the egg, he's saying. That makes more sense. The chud of the egg. Right, I like that also. Yeah. Right, not, yeah, see, that's what everybody says. Down on the side.
So the chud of the egg is when it's standing up.
That's the egg is like old.
The sharp part. Put it the sharp, cut the sharp part, which means.
But if you put the egg like this on the side, yes, it's
going to crack. So put the egg standing up. Good point. For standing up, you support the egg, you lean the bed on the egg. Okay. Good. I will cut for a layout. Right, we said you're allowed to put a cleat on top of it. But Afal Gavin, even though he ain't tell us that the egg itself is not movable because it's mukta or because for whatever reason you're not allowed to move it, metavlin es hakli, you're allowed to move the other kli letzar chaf for its need. Now what's the chiddush? Obviously, I'm not touching the mukta. Ula afukem with Rabbi Yitzchak. We're going to the exclusion of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amr who says in Masechta Shabbos Adonai Gimel Amar, ain kli nito elo ledaver hanito. You're not allowed to move a kli only for something which can be moved, right? Any kli nitzel, you're not allowed to move this kli, ela ledaver hanitzel, only for something else which could be moved, right? But let's say the Shabbos on Shabbos. Okay, so you would hold, you're not allowed to move this, correct? So that's one shot in the Brice. One shot in the Brice is we're telling you, you're allowed to move a kli for something even though that you can't move the mukta. Right? You're allowed to move another kli for the purpose of an egg which is mukta. Correct? Fine. Well, now, how is he going to learn the Rashi? Rashi, I don't know Rashi brings it, but how is he going to learn this braisa? Rashi brought like, it's a braisa. Rabbi Yitzchak is told like the braisa. And the braisa says, you're allowed to move this cup to put on top of the egg. So Rabbi Yitzchak is going to learn the ihu, and he, Muki, like, he'll establish this braisa, b'tzarech l'mkaimishel kli. That you need the place of the kli. You needed the place that whenever you need the place of something, which is mukta, you're allowed to move it. So therefore, that's the case. But we're not holding like that. We hold that the price is trying to teach me you're allowed to move a kli for something which you is not allowed to move.
I'm saying that you can move this kli because you need space underneath it, and then you're taking this kli that you're moving on top of the egg. You're
correct.
It on the egg,
correct. Yeah. He's saying you knew that the only way you're allowed to move the bowl, the bowl to cover the egg, that bowl was because you needed the place of that bowl.
Yeah, limited counter space.
Right. Limited counter space. Fine. That was case number two. Case number three, let's see Rashi Usfeka. Case number three. Usfeka Shalzu Asura. The suffix of this egg is Asura. So Kasolka Daida, we think now that was the suffix of the Braisa. Suffix Nodab Yomtiv. We're in doubt if it was born on Yomtiv. Suffix Bechal. And we're in doubt maybe it was born on weekday before Yomtiv. Still Asura Yomtiv. The Braisa is still saying it's Asura. Fine, and then the Gemara went to the fourth case, and it got mixed into 1,000. Even the egg was born in Yom Tov, they're all Aser. Then the Gemara asks, it makes sense, case number three. Why, if we're in doubt, if this egg was born in Yom Tov or not, then it's Aser. Because if an egg is Iser Deraisa, egg born in Yom Tov is Deraisa, hasn't it a problem on a Deraisa? So, Savik Deraisa, you have to be strict. If we're not sure when this egg was born, we have to be strict because we're dealing with the deraisa.
No, we're not talking about being strict in terms of not being ossering all those thousand eggs. We're not linking.
We're in the third case. We're not in the fourth case now. We get there soon.
Okay, that's a separate,
separate discussion.
Blending it in there. Okay.
We're in case number three, strictly in case number three. In case number three, where we said that if it's a suffix, then it's if that we say in case number three, if it's a suffix, then it's osser. But according to Rabba, it makes sense because we're not sure when it was born. Was it born on weekday? Was it born on Shabbos? On Yom Tov? It's a deraisa. But according to the Rabbi Yitzchak and the Rabba and Rabbi Yisei, it's a sabbath Rabba nani. Let's see Rashi. The afilu vadai, because even if it was certainly born on Yom Tov, the maximum Isser you'll have on it is Mishum Gzeri. The itzar, it's also because of Xera. Even if it certainly was born, it's a drabana. So therefore, v'chi havi Allah sfeika, when it is a suffix, have a suffix, it is a doubt, the median something, the Asa with the Rabbanon, and something that's Asa with the Rabbanon, this egg was only Asa with the Rabbanon because of Gzeira. So if you're in doubt, then it should be permitted. That's our question. So seemingly the Rabbi Yisrael Shad's wrong. Oh, let's see the Gemara's answer. Because the Gemara says an interesting teretz. Seifa asa'an l'safik treifa. The second half, the end of this brisa, it's not referring to a case of an egg born on Yom Tov anymore. We switched topics without telling you. It's referring to an egg which we're not sure of the treifa. Now, what is it supposed to mean? What does it mean to egg from a treifa? Now, halacha is, let's say you have a bird that's treif. What's a treif bird? A bird that's one of the 24 signs of becoming treif. And let's say we know from even without opening the thing, it's going to for sure die within 12 months. It's not going to live. The halacha is, any egg born from a treif bird is also treif. That's Ochel the Afris. But that's a positive. But the Gemara learns that it's the Kuli Al.
That just on a practical level, you've got this chicken and an egg farm.
Right.
And you've got all these eggs, and this chicken is going to die in 10 months. But you don't know that.
You
now.
Do. So right.
All the eggs that are being, you know, sold and all used during that 10 months. So you know, check the chickens every day. On a practical level, how is that dealt with? If the chicken is a treif and the egg is a treif, how do
right.
you know?
It could be Rabbi Yomi, I don't know, but Rabbi Yomi said it could be we go by a rife. First of all, we're here referring to if you see it definitely sick on the outside. If it's thick on the outside, it's not going to live, then the eggs are for sure a treif. But you're right, you're asking a question, how do you know that this thing has, maybe I might have something internal, so how are you supposed to, it's a good question, I don't know how. Rabbi Yomi said it's a rife. He Potskin, it's a rife. Most chickens, Rabbi Yomi, a lot of Potskin.
How about the day you check and find it?
Now, fine. So that for sure. If he's a trait, we find the egg inside. It's simple. So the whole thing's trait. Fine. But he's saying, how do you know what's going to occur?
Yeah, that's what makes it trait fun. You
would
know that it's
trait fun. But we're asking every time a chicken lays eggs, and let's say it's laying the egg. In our case, it laid the egg, and the egg was born, and then it got lost. Not necessarily found it inside. Good. We have a simple case. Okay, ask the man from the egg farm.
Ask the
shochet. Oh, we have the shochet on. So what do you do? So you had a question? How do you know? Every chicken, maybe it's going to become treif.
They're supposed to have something from the outside. If it's a very, very dangerous thing that they can die before 12 months, it's supposed to be in the outside.
You'll always see it on the outside.
Yeah, when they do the nits, you can see it too.
When we take out the nits, you'll see it.
No, you can see it. You can see if they are...
They take out for the thing. They take the bugs off. Yeah, they take this stuff. He said they know. He said it's clear. There's signs on the outside.
It's a very dangerous thing that they can die in 12 months. But if it's not, maybe they can go maybe close to the 12 months, only when you check it and then you open it.
Right. So most times you'll see it on the outside.
It's a little bit difficult. He's normally it's not get to the 12 months. Yeah, for sure not.
So a record chicken. How long is the lifespan of a chicken?
14 years.
14
years?
Not too much.
He's
saying 14 years.
No, 14 years for sure not.
No, 14 years. Okay, fine, we'll continue this conversation. Rabbi said 12 o'clock. Okay, 12. Okay, Rabbi said, let's continue. Rabbi said, Hanan. 10 years. Fine.
Okay. Your chicken
is a chicken to die. Fine. So basically, anyway, it's off topic. He's saying you're always, most of the time, you'll know on the outside what that it's going to be a treif. That's what I said. Also, you'll know from the outside that it's going to die. If it's going to die, and therefore the halacha is now you know I have to have a hechsher on your eggs. And make sure your chickens aren't going to die within 12 months. But anyways,
they don't really know.
No, he said they could tell from the outside. He said they could tell. That's what I said. They could tell. Said you could. There's some sign on the outside that's going to die. You'll see it on the outside. Fine, it's good. We have a good you came today.
But normally, at least it's
that worth it. Come from Mexico.
They have it's not longer than 12 months. It's just maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and they die. So
anyway, most sicknesses, chickens don't have like these long diseases anyway.
They're
not chronic diseases.
It's not normal that like 12 months.
They die right away. They don't have like a good immune system.
A
few weeks and dead. Fine. So basically, he's saying you'll know. Basically, you'll know. It's good you came today from Mexico. It's worth it just to.
You find a case you are like.
You could have cases
like that. It's,
it's weird. See, it always never happens. Fine, good guy for coming today. Fine, bye there. And fine, let's see. Fine, let's just see the last. Let's just get this Gemara started. Seifa asa on the Safek Shreifa. The Gemara says the Seifa is coming for a case of a Safek Shreifa. Meaning what? We weren't talking about Yom Tov. The first two cases in the Mishnah were referring to cases of Yom Tov. Case number three, why? Are not referring to Yom Tov. Only three and four, the Seifa, which means the second half of the Braisa.
The Seifa is the last two?
The last two. The Seifa is the last two, because that's the Seifa. The Reisha, oh, there's a Reisha. And then the Seifa is the Reisha of the Reisha, and the Seifa of the Seifa. Because soon we're going to talk about the Seifa of the Seifa. The last two cases are referring to a treif bird. We switch topics. And therefore, if you have a bird which is a suffix, if it's a treifa, it's a suffix de Reisa. Therefore, it's Aser. Our question was, whatever, we had a question from Yisrael or Yisrael. We're dealing with a suffix de Rabbana. So it should be mutter. The Torah says, no, we're in a whole different case. We switch cases. So in the case of a suffix that's from a trade bird, right? We're not sure if this thing came from a trade bird. Right? So we have a trade bird over here and a laid egg. Now we're not sure which thing it came from, which chicken it came from. Halacha is this trade. Good? So over there it's a suffix there, right? So we go to Chumrah. Now, it should be, isn't it pretty strange also we switch topics? It's pretty weird. So Rashi says now it makes a little more sense.
Then what happens to all the other eggs?
That's Rashi. Since we're referring to Hilchos eggs, we switch topics and we're also talking about more eggs. Yes, so let's see Rashi and Safik Trefa. What does Rashi say? Safik Nolda, Mitar Negrelos Trefa, we're in doubt if it was born from Mitar Negrelos Trefa. It could be we're not sure if the Tarnegrelos is a Trefa or we're not sure if it got mixed in. But love the Yom Tov Koi. We're saying it's not referring to Yom Tov. And since we were speaking about Isurim, different type of Usur eggs, which is a pretty strange topic, so once we were talking about Isur eggs of egg born on Yom Tov, Irinami, but we also spoke about this case of an egg, or a doubtful egg, which is also in the egg sugya. So since we're in the egg sugya, this Braisa, we also switched topics, talking about a Treifa. Means that the Gemara's question was, we see the whole Braisa talking about it on Yom Tov. Mar said, no, the second price is about, as Rashi explained, why all of a sudden talking about a random case about treif eggs? What are you talking about, treif eggs all of a sudden? Saying, no, because since we were talking about eggs, they're mutter or not, so we also brought an interesting case, more cases of eggs. So therefore, the Gemara is saying, our price could still, therefore, we have no more question on Rabbi Yisrael, they could still be the Tana of our.